Oh God, gracious and holy Father, we come to you right now just to say thank you for just another day. I thank you right now, oh God, that you would allow us, that you've allowed us to see another day once again. Thank you for allowing us to come together as living hope, as a family, a part of the body of Christ, oh God. I bless right now, dear Heavenly Father, our time together. Bless all the mothers in the world today, dear Heavenly Father, that they would enjoy this day, a good meal or whatever you would have them to have with their children, dear Heavenly Father. Bless them where they're weak and strengthen them where they're torn apart, oh God. But we just thank you for mothers. Ask right now that you allow this word to go forth, oh God, to be a blessing to someone right now who needs to hear it. Bless us, keep us, lead us, and guide us. I ask right now that you would allow me to do what you've called me to do. And not me, oh God, hide me behind the cross so that they may see you and see the work that you've done through me. I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All who is physically able, if you wouldn't mind standing for the reading of the word. Our text this morning will be coming from 2 Timothy chapter 1, as we will be looking at verses 3 through 6a. And it reads as follows. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. For our time allotted together this morning, I will be talking from the subject, a mother's gift. A mother's gift. A little boy forgot his lines in a Sunday school presentation. His mother was in the front row just to prompt him, just in case that would happen. And so she gestured and formed the words with the mouth, with her lips. But it did not help him. Because her son's memory was just blank. And so she tried to do it again. She mouthed the words and she said, but he still couldn't understand. He still couldn't understand what her words were. And so she leaned forward and she whispered the cue a little louder. And she says, I am the light of the world. To which, you know, then he got it. The little boy came alive. And with great feeling and a loud, clear voice, he stood up tall and he said, my mother is the light of the world. This morning, I want to use this occasion of Mother's Day just to remind you ladies that I want you to strive to be the lights of Christ, to live godly, to make an impact for Jesus Christ, especially in your family. The question is, what does it mean to shine as that light? In a nutshell, I believe to shine as the light of Christ, it means that you should always be pointing to its life source, Jackie. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, our Lord said it like this in his great Sermon on the Mount. He said, let your light shine before others so that, here is the reason, they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. He says, you should be shining as lights of Christ so that people can see Christ in you and also God can be glorified. That is the purpose of shining as lights. So your goal should never be to bring recognition to yourselves. Your goal should be ultimately to bring glory to God. Billy Graham once said this. He said, that there's a fine line between being a light for Christ and putting on a show just to get attention. He said that this is a matter of the heart. The thing about it is you have to understand that the heart can be in two positions, one of two positions. You could have a prideful heart. A prideful heart, you could be a Christian, you could be a prideful wife, a prideful mother, and then you could only be exhibiting prideful situations, sinful things that people will see, and they won't see Christ, but they'll see you being puffed up. Or you could have a humble heart. A humble heart would show a heart of humility, and in doing so, that heart will be put you low and allow Christ to come up, and then God can be glorified from up here. As a side note, a few weeks ago, we were in the Bible study, me and the guys, and I was sharing with the guys that it is my conviction. We were talking about evangelism. That was the first night. And I shared with them that it was my conviction that I believe each and every Christian holds the gift of evangelism. Now, before you disagree with me, let me state my position. My reason for saying this, I explained to Craig and those. I said that I believed that evangelism is a gift to every believer. Now, the thing about it is we can have that gift, but we can also exhibit that gift in a positive way or in a negative way. What am I talking about? What I'm talking about is that we can be living positively before others. We can be doing what we're supposed to do in Christ's likeness. And what would happen is people will always see your life before you even open your mouth up and say that you're a Christian. Because even when you come to the point to say that, yes, I'm a Christian, they would probably say, I already figured that because I saw your life. So right there, you would understand that your life has already taught them about Jesus Christ in one form or another. So your body language would always do that. Secondly, the negative way is if you say that you're a Christian and you turn around and you're doing things that are not Christ-like before people, then what would happen is that would give a harmful situation to your witnessing testimony. What I'm saying is the fact of the matter, if you're acting in that negative way and you claim to be a Christian, then your evangelism witness to say come to Christ means nothing to them, because they would ultimately say, why would I want to be a Christian and you're acting like that? If you don't believe me this morning, I brought my own witness. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, Peter says this. He says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. Here it is. So that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and the glory of God on the day of visitation. He says, keep your conduct together. Why? Because what they're going to see is your lifestyle. And so here in our text this morning, ladies, the Apostle Paul wrote about two women whose faith was a light to the young man to which Paul was writing. Young Timothy here, we will see how their faith can be an example by which others should ultimately imitate. Which brings us to our first point, ladies. The first point I want to leave with you on this morning is I would like you to remember to strive for a sincere and memorable faith. Strive for a sincere and memorable faith. Look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, Paul says, I am reminded of your sincere faith. Stop right there. Paul's reason for writing young Timothy was to give the young minister encouragement because of all of the discouragement that he was getting according to who he was at the time. He was a young minister. And so scholars say that Timothy was facing a lot of opposition in the ministry. And so Paul sought to encourage Timothy. And so he pointed out the fact that his faith, the sincere and memorable faith of Timothy's grandmother and mother. Now, as we know, Paul was not a man to easily be to flatter anyone. He wasn't one to compliment a whole lot of people if you look at his epistles. But here he does it in order to, he takes the trouble to compliment them, the faith of his grandmother, Lois and Eunice, his mother, was simply because they had a faith in Jesus Christ that was a truly distinct faith and a faith that stood out. Now, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, Paul says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that," here's the reason, "whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind," here it is, "striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." Now let me park right here for a minute, ladies, and reiterate to you that it is critical for your life to be lived as followers of Jesus Christ, not only for your sake, but also for others may see Christ through you. And moreover than that, so that others may see Christ through you, even when you don't realize that they're watching. I read a story in the Reader's Digest, a story that a lady wrote about her and her teenage son, and they lived in a not-so-good, raggedy mobile home. She stated that it was structurally unsound, and she said that the plumbing was always leaking, the roof was always leaking, the electricity was all torn down, it had holes in the walls, but and they couldn't get afford to get it under control. And so she said that she was ashamed when her son brought friends over. But one day she had learned that her son's best friend had run away from home. And she said that it was the most intriguing thing to her because he was the type of friend who had everything materialistically that you could ever want. He had everything. And so she said that she was puzzled to hear that news, and that prompted her to ask her son why. And she said that her son explained by saying this. He said, "Well, Mom, at their house, they have a lot of environment, but not a lot of love." He said, "But here, we have a lot of love, but not very much environment." You see, people are searching for love, ladies, and searching for God. But the problem is they're searching in all the wrong people and all the wrong places. Paul wrote to Timothy and said that he remembered the tears to which Timothy had cried. He said, "I know that you're going through some tough times of searching. We don't quite know, but whatever the struggle is," Paul pointed out the distinct and sincere faith of his mother and his grandmother to encourage him to keep him going on. Philippians chapter 3, verse 14 says, "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus." This should be our focus, to press forward. This should be our focus, to go forward, to go on. We should be pressing. We should be striving for a faith, that kind of faith. And it's because, you see, you don't have to be rich. You don't have to be wealthy. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to have any type of a degree. You don't have to have any type of status to make an impact. But you can make an impact if your faith is one that the love of Jesus Christ can be seen. And so Paul says to strive for a faith that is a sincere and memorable one, so that others can remember what they've seen in you when they are searching and hungry for godly inspiration. That is our first point this morning. Make sure that your faith is a sincere and memorable one so that others can be led to greatness through your lifestyles. But not only that, secondly, Paul points out the fact that you should strive for a faith that will outlive you. Look at verse 5 again. The end part, he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith. Here it is. A felt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. You see, these godly women of Lois and Eunice, they had a faith that ultimately outlived them. What am I saying? You see, today, when scriptures such as this, they should cause women to take an intimate look and examine your relationship to Jesus Christ and ask, is your life living the life of Christ in such a way that what you do and what you stand for today will live on into the future and will strengthen your children and impact the others around them even when you're gone? A pastor once said, he said this, he said that if your faith doesn't work at home, then your faith doesn't work at all. I recently read a story about a mother and a son who stopped the car on the side of the road to watch as a mother duck was leading her little ducklings right along across this busy road. A lot of different people were on the side of the road, and they were watching this as this goes on. And so as the mother duck goes on across the road, she proceeded, after she crossed it, to start going upward on up the rest of the road. As she begins to go up the road, she comes to a graded section to where, you know, the grates had led down to a sewer. Everyone's watching, and as she gets ready to go across, she begins to walk across this graded sewer with the confidence of knowing that her large webbed feet would make it across. But she didn't even realize that her little ones were much too little to make it across this graded section. And so with confidence, she went on by, and her little ones came on right after her. And one by one, plop, 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 they were gone into the sewer. She never looked back. She kept on going in confidence as if her children were going right behind her. But that didn't happen. I saw a sign that said, home is where your story begins. You see, I believe that it is more than possible for a mother to strive and strain and struggle to lead her children to safety on the other side of life's road, but ultimately fail to accomplish the true goal. What am I saying? I'm saying that it is possible to make sure that your son or daughter are successful in school, they are successful in sports, they are successful in a career, they may be successful in marriage, and still fail to give them the most important direction that they could ever have in life. Not only a sincere and memorable faith, but also a faith that will continue to live on even after you're gone from this life. So to paraphrase the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 36, I will say it like this. What shall it profit a mother if her son or daughter shall gain the whole world and lose their souls? You see, the true tragedy would be, ladies, for your children to have bookcases loaded with awards and trophies, and your walls are lined with diplomas and certificates of achievement, but their hearts to be voided and empty without God and everlasting faith. So it's important for you to deposit a faith that doesn't look good only on the surface, but is deeply rooted in one that will last long after you've left this life. And so we see first, ladies, that you should not only be striving for a sincere faith, You should not only be striving for a memorable faith, and not only you should be striving for a faith that will outlive you, but lastly, I want us to see, ladies, that you should be striving for a faith that demands a response to relight or rekindle the fire of the deposit that has been placed in you. Look at verse 6 real quick. Paul says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God." Stop right there. With our last point, we will see what Paul does by remembering the faith of Timothy's mother and grandmother. Here he used it to instruct Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God. As a side note, ladies, always remember that Satan will be very busy trying to put your fires out. Always keep that in mind. And so, in other words, Paul was trying to say to Timothy that if the fire of passion and faith for Christ that had once burned and now seems to be burning out, Paul says to Timothy, get that fire burning brightly again. To do that, he says, to remember the faith of your mother and your grandmother. And for Paul to point this out, he must have had some major concern that Timothy's faith was not burning as it should. And so, I think it was a challenge for Timothy to remember the sincere faith of these mothers. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14a, he says, "Do not neglect the gift that you have." Don't neglect the gift that you have, the gift of faith, ladies. Don't neglect the gift of God that is in your lives. Don't neglect that, but pass it on. A pastor by the name of Don DeWelt, he preached a sermon titled, "The Only Commandment the Virgin Mary Ever Gave." He was referring to the time when they were at the wedding reception and the wine had run out. And you recall that Mary said to Jesus, he said, "Lord, we've run out of wine." And Jesus looked at her and said, "Woman, what does that have to do with me?" Well, she turns to the servers. She says nothing else to Jesus, but she turns to the servers and she says, "Whatever he tells you to do, you do that." You see, what made this command better is that his mother, who gave the command, set a good example in the following words our Lord has said here in our text. Paul was pointing to the faith of Lois and Eunice to challenge Timothy with the command to do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And likewise, ladies, you should do whatever God teaches you to do in his written word. And so I say to you, ladies and mothers, this morning, to strive to live your life in such a way that your faithful relationship as a Christian can not only challenge you, but also help you to rekindle the faith of those your life has touched. So on this Mother's Day, this is for you both to challenge you and to thank you with gratitude. Challenge for you, ladies, to live for Christ and his calling on your lives. And gratitude from all of us, just to say thank you for your sincere faith, your memorable faith, and you being godly mothers in our lives. In closing, I want to close with a poem by Maggie Gilianto. She says, "I am a woman of faith, to a one true God, depending, leaning, and relying. I run to him in prayer whenever my soul needs searching. I am a woman of courage. Whenever I am down, I may be tired. I may be drained, I may be worn out, but I know I am strengthened with his strength to face any situation. I am a woman in love with the Lord, a woman of faith who believes in his love, a woman of courage in the one who turns my sadness to a joyful dance. I know that I can weather the storm because I know that I will live, will never be alone. Because you, oh God, you bring out the best in me to love, to care, and to reach out to others. You, oh God, have given me a treasure that will last forevermore. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. Let your faith live on.
And Father, we thank you that your Spirit is here. I praise you and thank you, Lord, for each person here this morning. I pray that you would bless each person, bless their families, bless this church, Lord. And as we drive over to our new location, Lord, I just pray that, first of all, you'd give us all a safe drive over there, but I just pray that you'd help every person to get excited, Lord, for what you're doing for us and through us, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you for all that you're doing here, Lord, and we give you all the glory. Thank you, Lord, and I just pray all these things in the most precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.